This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll be back in the Bronx Friday night. Friday night is my favorite night to go to the Yankee game, so I'll see y'all there. Keith McPherson on the Fan inside the 9 o'clock hour. 3 more hours to go. You got me till 12. 888-808-1019. We're talking everything. We talked a little bit about the Giants in the last hour. Sprinkling in some draft conversation. We're always talking about the Yankees. This is the Yankees Radio Network. And before we went to break, I said I did want to go back to my notes and go back to, you know, how the game ended. I think people make so much about, you know, the blown save. And it wasn't even a blown save. It was just like, it wasn't even a save opportunity. Like, they didn't even have to go to Devin Williams. They wanted to get him the work. They wanted to give him the opportunity. So the way that Devin Williams got in trouble, he was wasting too many bullets. Spencer Torkelson is up, and he gets the first called strike. He gets the second call. He's up in the count, 0-2. And then there's a ball, close but not there, foul, whatever. That ends up being a 9-pitch at-bat where Spencer Torkelson walks. You can't walk, guys. I don't care who you are coming out of the bullpen at any time in the game. The first batter you face, you can't walk him on. But then he strikes out the next guy swinging. And then he strikes out the next guy swinging. Okay, so now we have two outs with a guy on. You may have forgot the defensive indifference. Spencer Torkelson advances to second. Then Javi Baez comes up swinging. The third pitch, which, like, now Devin Williams, after that, I don't think the defensive indifference did anything to him, but he's facing Javi Baez. Throw strikes at him. Or, I don't know, make him chase, because Javi Baez is known to chase. He's been better. But the first pitch he throws to Javi Baez is the changeup, and it's not close. The second pitch he throws to Javi Baez is the fastball. It's outside. And then he has to throw a strike. Javi Baez swings. It's a single. So then they pinch hit Trey Sweeney, former Yankee. And Trey Sweeney works a walk. And in that count, he's up 0-2 again. Call a strike, swinging strike. We're not acting like, let's not act like he just walked the ballpark. He just gave it away. And let's not act like he gave away home runs or hard hit contact. He has to get in his rhythm. And what damned him, here we go, wild pitch. Devin Williams throws a wild pitch. Torkelson scores. Javi Baez to third. Trey Sweeney to second. Now you're in trouble. Now you're in a little bit of trouble there, where small ball can kill you, and it does. You got to throw strikes. A single there with two outs scores two runs. It's 4-3 now. We can't afford to lose this game. Mark Leiter Jr., you come in. 888-808-1019. I'll tell my food poisoning story after the next call. Nobody really wants to hear about it, but of course you do. I know Boomer told his story, and I think a lot of people that can relate to, you know, eating some bad poultry, some bad chicken, some bad pork, some bad, I don't know, some bad wings like Cody Bellinger. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Josh is in Far Rockaway on the Fan. You got it, Josh.
Hey, what's up, Keith?
You know, hosting the show, taking calls. How you feeling?
Hello?
Yeah, I said I'm hosting the show, taking calls. How are you feeling? Josh, come on, bro. You all right? You with me?
Hey, Keith, you over there?
Yeah, am I not coming through clearly? Can you hear me, Nick? Nick is giving me the thumbs
up.
Okay.
How long do you think it's going to take to launch or just start?
I'm going to put Josh on hold. How long do I think it's going to take for Juan Soto? I don't know. I don't think there's a Juan Soto problem. Like, I just think maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's the pressure. Juan Soto's Juan Soto. He's 26 years old. He's going to post. There's going to be a week where I'm on the fan and I'm like, remember I told you this week that he's in a home run every day? It's Thursday. He's got 3 homers already. This is Juan Soto. This is what he does. He'll have a 3-homer game. He'll have a 2-homer game. He'll win you some games. Not every game. I don't know if Josh is still there, but I'll tell my story now. So, Cody Bellinger today came out and said he's not going to eat wings for 5 years. I was on last night, and some Yankees fans were running with the post that he put out, where on his Instagram he put out round 2, and it was a fresh batch of wings. And if you heard me late last night, I'm like, I don't know if he was trolling. I think he was trolling. He was. It's confirmed. Because I'm like, I wouldn't go back for some other wings. And also in the picture, I didn't see his hand. I didn't see his face. It was just a picture of some wings. He could have got it from Google Images to try and be funny. Supposedly, the wings were room service. Ugh. I'm sure the Yankees investigated that and checked on that. Right? Because, like, these guys should be able to get room service. One, they're Yankees. They're famous. They're not going to just walk out into the street of Detroit when they get hungry and try and find something to eat on the street. So you get room service feeling like, and you know the Yankees stay at nice hotels. I've never been to Detroit. I have no idea where they stay out there. But that's tough that the room service wings got you. In 2014, I was staying in New York, 90 Thompson Street, working in the MLB fan cave at 692 Broadway. And the first week of the season, we were here before the season started, before the season kicked off. Shout out to my boy DJ DC. I forget where he either knew the DJ or whatever club it was. I go to the club. We get some drinks. We party. And then after the club, we're on the street. And we go to a random halal truck. I don't know what street it was. I don't know where it was. I don't know why I thought it was cool to go get some chicken over rice with some white sauce at like 3 in the morning. Crushed that. Went to bed.
Been there. Done that.
Yeah, Nick is nodding his head like, I've done the same thing. Like, that street meet, you're drunk, it's 3 in the morning.
It sounds damn good things. In the moment, but afterwards, not so good.
Those things damn near glow in the street.
For a while.
For a while, bro. It was like that thing was glowing in the street. So, that was, let's say, 3 a.m. The next day, we had a photo shoot at the cave. It was for the TV show Off the Bat that shot there, and it was like Fat Joe, Melanie Iglesias, Chris DiStefano, and Sway. They were the hosts. They came to take pictures, promo pictures with the fan cave dwellers, they called us. I made it through the photo shoot, and I remember, shout out to Ann Osi. She saw my face. She's like, you look like you're turning green. Like the feeling within 12 hours that came over me, I ended up calling Ralph downstairs. Ralph! And I had to, luckily there were no games on because the whole premise of the fan cave was like, these fans watch all the games here, they can't leave. I left, and I remember that night, the whole gang went out to party. It was one of our last nights to party before the season kicked off. And I was like stuck in my apartment going back and forth between the bathroom and the bed, and I don't have to get into any further details than that. Like, couldn't lay down without being like, oh, gotta get up. Could not, like, it was a struggle. It was the worst. I would not wish it on my worst enemy. It went on through the night, I think, until 24 hours. And I was like, wow, I can't imagine what Montezuma's revenge is like. I can't imagine what any, like, it's just, and you don't know when it's coming, but when it's under you, you just, you try to flush it out. I remember some of the homies bringing me Gatorade and like Pepto. I'm like, this is not going to do it, fellas. It's got to run its course. But nope. Bellinger said it's been 5 years since it's going to be 5 years before he has some wings again. It's been 11 years since I've gone to one of those food carts. I've hit halal guys in Yankee Stadium, and I've gone to the like actual like restaurants that they have. But as far as going to a random truck in New York City that's just camped out on one of the corners, never again.
you have to have a guy. You can't just go to any random place that you see. You have to know the guy, have been there a few times. Another thing to watch for is make sure that they have their grade up there, the rating. You know, that they have like an A.
I don't got to watch for anything. I'm not.
Well, yeah. No, I'm just saying, when you try.
It's not an option anymore.
Whenever you eat street food, you got to look for these things.
Yeah, I used to have.
You got to be very careful.
When I worked at Roc Nation, which was at like 1411 Broadway, I used to take my lunch break at Bryant Park, and there was this like $7 Chinese truck where you could get chicken teriyaki over white rice for $7. I used to hit that all the time. That's all I could really afford. It was good.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
and I made like friends with the guy there.
Are cheap. Like, you get chicken over rice for like $8 or whatever.
Yeah,
it's a deal. And you get the free soda, and you're like, all right, that's a good deal. You're like, it's better than anything else you could really get. Even Chinese is too expensive these days. So
it's not a good deal when you're.
It's not a good deal when you're.
If you don't pay for it, then you'll pay for it later.
It's not a good deal when you're, contemplating life in the bathroom.
888-808-1019. Avi is in Jackson on the fan. What's up, man?
Hey, what up, Keith? Great show as always. I want to talk about Yankees with torpedo bats. You know, I think that they've been hitting the ball a lot, and it's very good. But, you know, let's say, how do you think about that become illegal?
You're breaking up a little bit, but I could hear you enough. The bats aren't illegal. I think people just ran with the narrative because it's the Yankees, and they want to say the Yankees are cheating. What were they saying these last couple games in Detroit? The torpedo bats don't work in freezing temps? Like, the bats are legal, and you know what? Manfred came out and backed it, and the first thing I said was, this is good for baseball. The first thing I said is, people are talking about baseball. National sports shows on TV and elsewhere that never talk about baseball, they have something to talk about, you know, with the Yankees, and yeah, Manfred came out, and the first thing he said was the torpedo bats are absolutely good for baseball. And he said the bats comply with the rules. Players have actually been moving the sweet spot around in the bat for years. It's just because it's the Yankees, because they hit 9 home runs, they scored 20 runs, and you got flashy guys like Jazz using them, and, you know, Volpe, who you have Dave Portnoy from Barstool saying, he's a terrible hitter. Now he's a good hitter? They made a bat for this kid? Like, he gassed the whole situation.
Yeah, Keith, about the pitching, I think today Max Fried was insane. You know, that was very good that Luis Hill's out and Garrett Cole. I think that was a good, he stepped up a lot and he showed a good performance. Then Devin Williams, I'm fine with it because I know he's going to get the rhythm. He is a good pitcher. And everybody thinks that, oh, he makes one bad mistake and there goes, he sucks. No, everybody's going to have that bad game. It's fine. He's going to get into the rhythm.
Thank you, Avi. Thank you for the call. Yeah. Pitchers have to warm up. If it's cold, you don't get properly warmed up. Pitchers have to fight the umpire strike zone. There are borderline calls that sometimes don't go your way. He has to get in a rhythm of throwing his fastball and throwing the changeup where they look the same. And he's got to throw them in the zone and let the defense do what they got to do behind him and not be worried about giving up home runs, not be worried about trying to, you know, nibble or like paint the... No, throw it in the zone, man. You've got stuff that these guys can't do anything with. So I'm not so worried about Devin Williams. It's going to get warmer and he's going to get into more of a flow and more of a rhythm. The Yankees hopefully are in more games where it's not 5-0, so you can't use him. Or they're not blowing a team out where you don't use him. Like, when he is consistently throwing, like, I want to get to the point where he's consistently throwing, where he's not available, and we do use Luke Weaver, like, or somebody else, you know, whoever it might be, Mark Leiter Jr., or, I don't know, Ian Hamilton, or Jonathan Loaisiga, when Loaisiga gets back. Like, this is much about nothing. All it is two things. This is why it's compounded. The beard thing, which that's one of the first things I said on the radio tonight before I even opened my MacBook notes, and I'm like, the beard has nothing to do with it. The Yankees needed to remove that policy. It's removed, and it has nothing to do with his performance. He is not up there thinking, oh, man, I've got the weight of the beard policy on me. I've got a pitch. The beard has nothing to do with it, but it's compounded. And then also, it's a rhythm, like he said. This guy did not pitch in every spring training game because he is a closer. He's got to be put in high leverage situations to get a feel. And then his regular season got started. He got booed. It's not a great start, but he did get out of it. They did win. And then he went on paternity leave the second series. So his regular season got interrupted. His next outing, he's got to pop out with Manfred's man on second, which, like, I've been saying from the jump, it's fake baseball. It sucks. It's stupid. You know it's stupid. I know it's stupid because they don't do it in the postseason. It's anti-baseball. If you're a baseball fan, I always used to say, until they kick us out, until they kick us out. I'm going to the game. I'm not in a rush. I don't care if this is a 19-inning game. Good for me. I'll be able to say I saw a 19-inning game. We'll never see one. These games go 11, 12 innings max. Because Manfred and company decided, listen, let's cheat the game a little bit. How about a ghost runner? How about we give him one? Like, this is baseball. Where the hell did that guy come from? And, like, the whole strategy is different. Who are you going to put there? A fast guy? Who are you going to take out of the lineup to put there? Or who are you going to take out of the bench to put there as you keep going? It's so stupid. It's new baseball. It's fake baseball. And I wish they would do away with it, but they're not. Because they like the fact that, like, the pitch clock and the ghost runner have made it so that these games, they never go 4 hours. They never go deep into extra innings. You'll never hear the complaint about, oh, baseball is long and boring. So Devin Williams had to deal with that. And then he comes out there today. The team is fighting the sweep. He's got a four-run lead. But like I said, he was up in the counts. He had 2 outs. People are acting like he didn't get an out. People are acting like he just gave it away. Like he gave up a three-run bomb or something. No, it's baseball. And shout out to the Tigers. They're scrappy. I knew they would be scrappy. I knew that they were going to fight. And they took the series from the Yankees like they did last year when we didn't see them coming. In August. And then they went on to do what? Actually go on a run to make the postseason and knock off the Astros. Something the Yankees haven't been able to do. So, like, talk about that too. Your opponent. Your competitors. Give them some credit too. 888-808-1019. Dave is on the fan in New Haven.
Keith, what's up, man? How you doing, my brother?
Good, how are you?
Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank
good,
you.
Good, good, good. Thoughts on Shador in New York? And what's the acrimony about him coming here?
He's dropping. They're talking about him visiting with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're picking 21. The Saints, potentially. There's just been so much about him in the negative. And this is what happens. I still think he's going to be a solid quarterback. Even with his pro day, they made so much about him patting the ball. I haven't spoken on that. That's a rhythm thing. I wasn't a ball patter, but like I've seen a lot of guys that just it's a rhythm thing. If you have a strong enough arm and you read a defense and you can put the ball there, patting the ball isn't something that. And I think it was the guy Cisco from the Jets that started all of that. And I remember Andre Cisco getting cooked by the Jets. When he was with the Jaguars, but that's, you know, that was for another time.
I agree with you. The negative press and everything is killing his draft stock.
It's Deion's kid. They as much negative press as they try to hit Deion with, you knew they were going to do that to his kid. But I think there's going to be a silver lining for him. He's going to fall to a team that really wants him. He's going to fall to a team that he's going to get a shot. He's not going to get a shot with the Giants. He's not beating out Russell Wilson. He's not beating out Jameis Winston, he'd be glued to the bench, and that'd be a waste of a third overall pick when you need to win now.
Well, that's where I disagree.
Okay.
All right? Because whatever quarterback comes that we draft needs to sit on the bench for a year. It's proven. And I'll give you an example. The Green Bay Packers have had how many quarterbacks in the last 30 years?
Two. Three. Three. You're Favre, Rodgers, Love now.
Exactly. And all those guys turn out to be good quarterbacks because they sit, they watch, they learn, and they develop. And Shador is staying to sit and develop and learn from Russell and
Shador wants to play. I think he wants a chance to play. And you're right, though. These guys do need to, you know, get some seasoning and not be rushed out there. But this Giants regime, they don't – like – why would you draft Shador Sanders and then you win four games and then you're gone anyway and it's a new regime coming in with Shador Sanders?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a shame that they don't draft him. But whoever they draft at three, if it's Hunter, if it's the kid from Penn State, fine. But I think they're missing out on a generational talent that can be productive over the years. And when I say over the years, I'm 54, I watched Steve Young sit behind Montana. I watched Danny White sit behind Staubach. I watched Patrick Mahomes sit behind Alex Smith. And the list can go on and on and on and on and on. You can build a quarterback by sitting him and letting him learn. And that's my whole point.
Thanks for the call, Dave. You can do that when you are winning. You can do that when you have a proven quarterback in front of him. You have two quarterbacks coming into the building for the first time, and we don't know what they're going to be. You know, like we love to use the example of Green Bay, but who else has effectively done it? I guess you can look at the Eagles with Jalen Hurts, them drafting Jalen Hurts when they had Carson Wentz, and he didn't have to play immediately. Worked out pretty good. Obviously, Jalen Hurts fell. I'm trying to think. I mean, and the Mahomes thing, I don't even like the Mahomes thing. Yes, he sat a year behind Alex Smith, and then he became Patrick Mahomes. But, like, he's Patrick Mahomes. It's just different. Like, he's like, just watch how he plays. He's not your regular quarterback. Like, we're watching C.J. Stroud come into the league and be able to play right away. We're watching Jaden Daniels come in and get to the NFC Championship, be able to play Rookie of the Year right away. It's so much about situation as well. Head coach, having an offensive line, having some weapons. The Giants have far too many holes, and like they just need competent quarterback play. They need quarterbacks that can read defenses and aren't afraid to throw the ball downfield. Hello, that's why you got Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. One, I think, is past his prime completely in Russell Wilson. And the other one, these are the last years he's got left himself. And if Brian Daboll can coach the turnovers out of him, like I think, where's the scenario that famous Jameis is just so compelling? And also comes here and taps in with Fox Sports. Maybe Craig Carton gets him on Breakfast Ball. Because, you know, Fox Sports, they're the ones that handed him the microphone down there in New Orleans. So you know he's going to tap back in with them in the big city. What's the scenario that, like, him at age 30, 31 versus Russ at 36, 37? What if the team likes Jameis and his personality better? What if Malik Nabers likes the way the football comes out of his hand better? What if Russ is too much of a dad and too washed, and some of his corny stuff and gimmicks or whatever does not connect? What if Jameis is the guy? I don't know. But I don't think you go wrong having both of those guys in their experience in the building. Super Bowl winner, former number one overall pick, a guy that threw 30 touchdowns as well as 30 picks. You know, guys that have been in different cities and divisions. Like now you're looking at Jameis. He's been in the NFC South. He's been in the AFC North. He beat Russell Wilson in the AFC North. Russell Wilson now has been in the AFC North, the West, the NFC West. Like, they bring a ton of knowledge and experience in the game. I think it's only going to be good. It's going to be way different than Daniel Jones from Duke that came in and was just Daniel Jones from Duke for years with multiple different coordinators and head coaches and systems. And really, once he didn't have Saquon with him, mistake, like, you paid a guy, and then in theory you told the world that you're not, you know, paying a $40 million quarterback to hand off to a $13 million running back. Well, you should have. A good running back is a quarterback's best friend. That quarterback is not as confident and not as good with Devin Singletary. 888-808-1019. Michael in New Fairfield on the Fan next. What's up, man?
Hey, Keith. Good to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm, you know, hanging out, taking some calls on the Giants and the Yankees and the Mets and maybe the Knicks.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the Yankees for a minute. I mean, I breathed a sigh of relief after that game. I mean, after the 4-0 lead, that was good. And then the 4-3, and then the Yankees won. But I agree with you. I think Williams has had a bit of an up and down couple weeks, you know, with being on a new team and then having to go with paternity. So I'm just hoping that's the case. I just hope he can, you know, right his ship and just be as dominant as he was in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and if he sucks, they'll move him off of the closer spot like they moved Clay Holmes off the closer spot. But if they gave Clay Holmes the opportunity to blow 14 saves, they're going to give Devin Williams the opportunity. He hasn't blown a save. Like, they're going to give him the opportunity to keep figuring it out.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, I'm just glad that Weaver has proved he can close games. So that's why I'm not really – and also because of Daboll, that's why I'm not freaking out yet. but I'm just glad Weaver has proven he can close the game. So I'm not going to freak out yet. But
yep, no reason to freak out. It's just slightly disappointing, and that's why I say it's compounded. You traded for this guy. He's the number one reliever in baseball that they ranked or whatever, and he hasn't lived up to the hype. And then also the beard stuff just adds another layer of like, what, they changed the beard policy for this bum? It's like, please, like, leave that out.
That's a non-factor. That's crazy. But, you know, I mean, people are going to harp on what they harp. Thanks, Keith.
Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. People are going to, of course, point to that. This is the guy? Oh, this guy made a big fuss about his beard? No, he didn't make a big fuss about his beard. When asked about it, he was honest about it. And he's not thinking about his beard when he's on the mound trying to get guys out. He wasn't able to get guys out. He got two guys out. He wasn't able to get the last out. He struck a guy out, but then he missed and a couple singles. And, you know, next thing you know, defensive indifference. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't care. All I cared about was they won. All I cared about was multiple hits from Goldie, from Rice, from Cabrera. They found a way. Never say die. Also, never easy Yankees. But all in all, they come back 3-3 from the first road trip. They have the day off. It's a happy flight. And, you know, they'll be tested against the San Francisco Giants in the Bronx. But they'll get back to their own beds, families, significant others. They'll get back to the ballpark. Let's take a look at the weather here before we go to the next break, too. Because I want to go to the game, but it's going to rain. It's supposed to rain all weekend. We got a 90% chance of rain on Friday. So that game, who knows? That game might get pushed. And then I don't know how much of a doubleheader is going to be in play. We got 95% chance of rain in the Bronx on Saturday. 60% chance on Sunday. Again, that's why I say, you're making a big fuss about an April 9th game. In the future, we're not even going to be playing baseball on April 9th. 888-808-1019. They're going to shorten the season, and they're going to forego all of this rainouts and moving game times because it's too cold in places like Michigan and New York. They're just going to say, all right, we'll start in May, and spring training will start later. I'm fine with it. I've gotten over it. After the lockout in 2021, 2022, where we were all saying, no, 162 games. They got to play 162 games. I just kind of gotten around. They've changed the game so much. Like, we act like baseball is just, like, so sacred that it can't be. It has to change. It has to evolve. And it's every day. They play more games than anybody else. If they shorten the season to, 132 games, whatever. If they shorten the season to 138 games, whatever, yo. History will change, sure. But, like, history changed in the NFL. And people just try and overlook it. Oh, look at how many receptions or this record was broken. I was like, yeah, well, they get an extra week. Yeah, whatever. Never mind that. I mean, I had a caller say that Steve Cohen should build the dome. When? By the time Steve Cohen builds the dome, they're going to shorten the season when you're not going to necessarily need the dome. Now, I understand the angle about in the winter bringing concerts there and some other stuff. But if Steve Cohen was to try to fight to get a dome over Citi Field, it would take so long. We're already in 2025. Let's say it takes 5 years. 2030. They might realign and they might shorten the season by 2029. They're like, oh, well, we don't really need this. But it's still going to rain, so I guess it could help with the rain. Having a retractable roof. It's funny, the Mets started the season going on a tour of, you know, two retractable roof stadiums where I'm like, Steve's got to be thinking, right? You go to Minute Maid Park, which I see now they're auctioning off the sign, the Minute Maid Park sign. Now it's Dykin Park. I don't know. And then Lone Depot Park, formerly Marlins Park, retractable roof down there in Miami. You got to see that place. Where else do they have a retractable? Miller Park or American Family Field at Miller Park. I don't know what they call it out there in Milwaukee now. I've been there. The names have changed. Now I'm putting myself through trivia. There's one more place that has a retractable roof, right? I don't know. I'll think about it, but we got to take another call. Bob is in Jackson. Bob, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, what's up? I want to talk about the Mets offense.
The Rogers Center in Toronto, Canada. That's a retractable roof. Go on.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, sorry. It came to me, the other ballpark that has a retractable roof.
All right, I gotcha. I want to talk about the Mets offense. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is Brett Brady and Tyrone Taylor still in this New York lineup? These guys stink.
Well, he's gotten to the age where they gotta make a decision on him. They gotta figure it out. And I think what they're gonna do here is give him at least a month or two. McNeil's gonna come back, and then they might cut his at bats. But they've overcome it. They've been able to win 8 games despite him being quadruple A and not beating the allegations of being a quadruple A player. He's struggling, but Carlos Mendoza is in the post game backing him, saying he's got to fight through it. They're testing him right now. They want to see if he comes through. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't.
Well, listen, Keith. These 8 wins are from pitching. The bottom half of the order stinks.
Yeah, well, like in the you have Hayden Sanger going right now. That's your third string catcher. Any night, it's Tyrone Taylor or Jose Siri. Those guys, like you needed Jose Siri's speed. He's helped you win some games here. Brett Beatty, Vientos, they're young guys. They're struggling. Beatty is what, 24 going on 25? He's 25.
Yeah, he's 25.
And then Vientos is another young guy, 23, 24, about to be 25. They're finding out what they have. He's 25. So these are two 25-year-old kids that they want to find out. Are these guys big leaguers? They're not minor leaguers. They shouldn't be at age 25, right? They're trying to find out what they have in these guys. That's why they didn't bring back Iglesias. That's why, you know, they did sign Nick Madrigal, but he got hurt. You kind of want to see Acuna get a more of an opportunity. I just think he's more athletic and exciting than Brett Beatty. But they're gonna keep running these guys out there for at least the first month of the season to see if they come through, if they pass the test.
Right, I hear you. And do you think Brandon Emo should keep on playing the cleanup spot?
I just wouldn't mess around with where Alonso's hitting right now. If you want to drop Nimmo, maybe, but I wouldn't move Alonso to the cleanup spot. I'd leave him right there behind Soto in the third spot. He's come up fine. And I think Nimmo is going to, well, we got to just get to warm weather. We can't. They say you're not even supposed to really judge these teams till Memorial Day. Thanks for the call, Bob. 888-808-1019. I know the sight of Brett Beatty pains y'all. I know just watching the Brett Beatty at bat is like, get this guy off my screen, get this guy off my team. But they're not going to treat him like that. Juan Soto bought him a black Chevy Tahoe. Maybe he needs his number. Maybe that zapped his aura. Maybe he needs the deuce. Juan Soto, you got to give him the 22 back. Seven's not doing it, bro. Brett Beatty needs the 22 that he homered with his first at bat in 2022. That's it right there. I just figured it out. I gotta follow up and get that message to Juan Soto and Brett Beatty. It's all in the number. It's all in the swag. Look at this. With 9 minutes to go, Dallas storms back. Klay Holmes makes a shot. It's 87-85 Mavericks over Lakers. Luka, I guess, cooled off from the quick 11 points that he had. I got to check that box score. I had it up. But I've got 20 tabs open. I was trying to figure out the other retractable roofs, and I've been to these places. T-Mobile Park in Seattle, been there. Chase Field in Arizona, been there. I forgot that Globe Life, the new spot in Texas, they have a retractable roof as well. They exist across Major League Baseball. I just don't think they're going to exist here in New York. And by the time they were able to potentially put one up in New York, the Yankees ain't doing it. And if Steve Cohen tried to push for it, they're going to start the season around May 1st, Cinco de Mayo, in the next 5 years or whatever, just to kind of skip through all of this. Rain delays, postponements, first pitch time changes. It'd be pointless. All right, we got a break here. Let's break here. I see a call coming in to talk G-Men. So we'll continue. We'll do the G-Men. We'll do a little bit more Jets conversation. How about that? I'll sprinkle in some Jets conversation. Yeah. When we come back, we'll do Tell Me Something Cool. If you haven't caught my Tell Me Something Cool segment that I used to do with John and Susan, I've brought it back to my own show. I'll tell you a couple cool things. When we come back from this quick break, Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB.
Well, now it's time for fanalyst Keith McPherson. Hey, Keith, tell me something cool.
Hey, John. Love it when you say that. Tell me something cool. Tonight on Tell Me Something Cool, I got to tell you something cool about the Jets and maybe who they're going to draft first overall. Tyler Warren. Yeah, the best tight end in the country coming out of Penn State. Something cool about him? He wears number 44 because his dad showed him highlights of John Riggins wearing number 44 and said, that's who you need to run like when you get the ball in your hands. Well, universe never unconnects. John Riggins was drafted by the New York Jets in the first round with the 6th overall pick in 1971. The Jets now have the 7th overall pick and could do something really cool by drafting Tyler Warren and putting that number 44 on him. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Just some other things with the Jets. Like I was just in the weeds of like draft coverage and stuff. And I've been using a lot of AI. Like everything now has AI on it. Google, Twitter, obviously you know ChatGPT. There was something I was reading. The New York Jets are reportedly infatuated with Tyler Warren at tight end, the tight end from Penn State, and they're considering taking him. And I was talking last night about how last year, all the rumors were Brock Bowers, Brock Bowers, Brock Bowers, Brock Bowers, even the day of. And then they went with Olu Fashanu, and I think that was the right move because obviously Tyron Smith, and you know what happened last year. And, you know, Fashanu, I think, is going to be around for a long time. Another kid out of Penn State. So why not follow up this year, Jets? If anybody from the J-E-T-S Jets can hear me, why not follow up this year? After you saw how dominant Brock Bowers was last year, follow up with another kid out of Penn State. They definitely know each other. And get your tight end of the future in Tyler Warren. 888-808-1019. The universe never unconnects. The writing is on the wall. It's all there from the John Riggins pick in 1971. The kid's dad telling him wear number 44. It's his destiny. It's his destiny. Now let's talk about the X's and O's of it. You have Justin Fields coming in. Now, this guy's going to be way better than Cole Kmet was or Pat Freiermuth. But, like, he is a safety blanket for Justin Fields. He's a big target. He's also going to be able to stay in and block sometimes, right? So instead of drafting Armon Membu, you know, to block, draft this big tight end. This dude is like 6'5", 260. Draft this big tight end that can help you block and also catch the rock bars. I just think that's the move. I think if the Jets don't take him at 7, Carolina definitely could take him at 8. And I know they have other needs, but like in the mock draft, a lot of mock drafts had the Jets taking Teteroa McMillan out of Arizona. I don't necessarily think that they're going to go that way because you have your number one and it's going to be Garrett Wilson. And I don't know how much you're going to be throwing the ball with Justin Fields right out of the gate. I think there's going to be a heavy emphasis on the run. You've already heard Aaron Glenn talk about the three-headed monster. There's even some rumors that they might trade Breece Hall. But, you know, Aaron Glenn has talked about the three-headed monster in the backfield. And you have three young backs in Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, and Isaiah Davis. Use them all. They're all different. And then when you add Justin Fields' legs, you have four running backs potentially. And not to take away from Justin Fields throwing the ball. I hated as soon as he was signed, all you heard on WFAN, he can't throw. He can't throw the ball. He can't throw. Yeah, he can throw. You're gonna find out pretty soon that he can throw the football. He can make every throw. He's got to make every read. And be accurate and on time. You know what helps you be accurate and on time? A big-ass target like Tyler Warren, 6'5 and a half, 256, running up the seam. Or you could just loft the ball to him. I don't know. I see something there. Teteroa McMillan, I understand not going to get him because he might be somebody's number one or, you know, he might be someone's number two in a pass-happy offense, and maybe this isn't a pass-happy offense. But to me, Tyler Warren makes a ton of sense for all the reasons I just laid out. You passed on Brock Bowers last year. Brock Bowers was balling with Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, and Desmond Ridder. Broke records, set records. He was, you know, he was balling harder than Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers also had to do that with Drew Locke and Tim Boyle. But you pass on Brock Bowers. Tyler Conklin leaves. He's with the Chargers. And I wouldn't even, you know, that's irrelevant. It's just a tight end. He's not like Tyler Warren's going to be. If you saw Tyler Warren in the bowl game, the catches he made, man, like in the end zone, he's just a huge target. I just think it's right there for the taking. You add him, and I think he's the type of guy that Glenn is looking for. He's like a, you know, blue collar, you know, lunch pail type of guy that's going to come in and work and be a beast in the weight room, a beast on the field, set the tone. He's going to hit, and he's going to block. And I think that's the type of, like, you got to draft somebody that's going to make an impact right away. Okay, maybe this kid out of Missouri at tackle will make an impact. But I feel like you can plug somebody else in there. And you drafted tackle last year. The Jets fans don't want to go back-to-back years drafting a tackle. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't want to speak for the Jets fans. Jets fans, call me up. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phone. Bobby is in Belmore on the fan. Bobby, you got it.
Yeah, I wanted to get to the Jets. It looks like Glenn wants to do the Detroit Lions thing and draft another tackle, but who knows what's going to happen.
They drafted Sam LaPorta, and Sam LaPorta has been one of the better tight ends in the league. They didn't draft him in the first round, but like him coming out of the Big Ten, he's been super solid and a weapon. They should get a tight end. It's important, especially in that offense.
Yeah, really need it. And just one quick, before I get to the baseball quickly, you're the Ovechkin. I apologize for about hockey. I know you don't want to do that. But Gretzky mentioned that, Ovechkin and Gretzky played the same amount of games, which was incredible when he broke the record.
No, I did not catch that. Yeah. That's crazy.
The amount of games when he broke the record, yeah. And it's like 1457, something like that. And also, Gretzky, did you see Gretzky's speech? After he broke it? He mentioned that he was good. Was in the National Coliseum because you know what the Islanders used to do to them. Before the 84 Cup, Game 1, the Islanders beat them 10 straight times. And that Game 1, 84 final, they won 1-0. They beat the Islanders in their own game in the Coliseum, and Grant Fuhr stood on his head. And, and that probably was the turning point of the whole series and started the Edmonton dynasty in that Game 1, 84 final. Because the Islanders won Game 2, and if they're up 2-0, who knows what would have happened. I'm not saying, the Islanders were broken down, but that was a big game. Anyway, I want to get to the baseball. I spoke to you when they got Williams. And everyone said, it's Mario Rivera. He did the same thing in 97, gave up the home run. But you don't know how that's going to play out. And it looks like it is. And, Holmes, he's starting right off pitching terrible, Williams. Holmes didn't start pitching barely till the second, towards the end of the second half. And they might have to put this guy, put Weaver back in the release spot.
Pitching terrible. He got two outs. Yeah, but
he gave three,
but there's nuance in that. We can't leave out certain things. Some pitches missed. There were some walks. There were some singles. It's not like he's loading the bases up and giving up a three-run bomb and not getting anybody out. He had two outs. He was up in the counts. He's going to get there. He's going to get there. I think we're just making a lot out of it because of all of the hype. You trade for this guy. MLB Network makes him the number one reliever in the offseason. He's got a nickname like the Airbender, and then he is now the poster child for the Yankees beard policy removal. So you expect this guy to be Mariano Rivera. Newsflash to everyone listening, there will never be another one.
I was saying that because he gave, Mariano did it in 97. Why can't he, he did the same. But you know how a pitch like that affects a player the following year. Remember Moore from the Angels? He was never the same. You don't know how these
He's in a contract year. He's going to ball out. He just needs some time. Thanks for the call, Bobby. We make, what is the phrase? Mountain hill out of them. I don't even know the term because I don't be doing that. Make a mountain hill out of a mole, something like that. Mole hill out of a mountain hill, anthill. It's like, this is snowballing. He's pitching terrible. He's not pitching terrible. I just broke down to you his three outings. And it's three outings. We're 2 weeks into the season. The guy left to have a kid. I'm not throwing a guy away. I'm not throwing a guy away because you know what? I will be in the stadium like, PC Richardson, let's go. Two strikes, two outs. Start spreading the news. I'm not throwing away a reliever like that. I can't. I cannot. And I don't care about the beard policy, and I don't care about all the other stuff. All I care is that he gets right. I've seen him pitch. This guy was an all-star. This guy wasn't he rookie of the year? I can't throw him away. I can't discard him because he's making an adjustment to being in New York, being a Yankee. This kid was born in Missouri, played for the Milwaukee Brewers. It's so much different. You guys are wondering why Mikal Bridges can't adjust just taking the train from Flatbush and Atlantic up to the 33rd. He gets up at 34th. He's a different player. It is an adjustment. It is an adjustment. Let him adjust. Let him work on it. Let it get warm. Let him get some time. I'm not throwing away a guy that there's no Mariano. But this guy's been nails. He's been lights out. That's why he didn't name the pitch the Airbender. It became that. Let him work on it. Let him get his fastball command down. And when the fastball is coming out of the hand like the changeup and guys aren't hitting it, that's going to be closing the door for the Yankees. And if he can't get it done, then make him the setup guy. You know you have Luke Weaver. But I can't go off of 2 weeks of baseball where he's made three appearances. And I just broke down to you what happened today. A runner advances on defensive indifference. Like, now we're getting too deep in the weeds on things. They won the game. He didn't blow the save. He took the loss in extra innings with Manfred's man on second in Pittsburgh. He got booed off the mound in Yankee Stadium, but he won. He threw 36 pitches. He got it done. Fought through the boos. Let him go through this. Let him experience this. He's going to come out on the other side. 888-808-1019. SY in Brooklyn on the fan. What's up, man?
Yeah, hello, Keith. Really enjoyed the show.
Thanks. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, just thank you for calling in. You said you enjoyed the show and you took it a step further to call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so about the Mets rotation, I'm really getting trolled on these MLB chats that I'm on. But do you think the Mets really need another piece in the rotation?
Absolutely. They have help on the way, and they need to add at the deadline if they think that they're going to actually contend in the National League. Absolutely. With these lineups in the National League, like I'm not trying to minimize the Marlins and the Blue Jays. They absolutely need somebody else, because I don't know. Like, you saw Tyler McGill start off great. He had like a 0.79 ERA, and then he got a little bit today. Like, I don't know how long it's going to last for Senga. How long is he going to stay healthy? I don't know how long it's going to last for Griffin Canning. I don't know how long, you know, it's going to last for David Peterson, even though I do have a lot of faith in David Peterson being David Peterson that we saw last year. Montas is coming back, but, like, when? Manaea is coming back, but he already had a setback. Like, yes, yeah, I think you need another guy. Clay Holmes. Let me not leave out Clay Holmes. I think Clay Holmes, with the 10 strikeouts, like, that is going to be a big boost of confidence for Clay Holmes to get back to what we were seeing in the spring. It's going to warm up. These guys are going to be fine, but I don't think that they have enough of a rotation to go toe-to-toe in the postseason. And this won't be the rotation in the postseason. We're 2 weeks in.
You think it might be better to go for a bullpen piece by the deadline, like just a top bullpen in the, like, a regular starter?
It depends who's available, and it depends. David Stearns knows. David Stearns is all-knowing when it comes to building a bullpen and knowing what you're going to need. But right now, I feel like you got all you need. You know, A.J. Minter has been good. Ryan Stanek has been good. You've been getting use out of Danny Young, Jose Buteau, Edwin Diaz, whatever. Like, and not going to be perfect, but, like, you've got Oscar Brazoban in the beginning of the first couple outings, great. He got rocked 2 days ago, but so what? These guys are winning games. Their bullpen, I think, is better than it's been in years. They've got more than enough guys. Did I not mention Max Kranick? Living the dream. No. Reed Garrett. I didn't even mention Reed Garrett. They've got a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're looking to add an arm at the deadline, but you add what you can add. You add what's available and what's going to help the team. Maybe one of these guys tapers off a bit. We saw Reed Garrett taper off a bit last year. Maybe he doesn't hold. But as far as the starting rotation goes with Clay Holmes, with Senga, Peterson, Griffin Canning, McGill, yeah, I think Sean Manaea is a welcome addition whenever he's ready. And I also think that if they're serious about contending and making a push for the World Series, because that's the bar now, it's National League Championship Series, World Series, then they'll be calling the Marlins about Sandy Alcantara. Thanks for the call, SY. 888-808-1019. It's 10 o'clock. We have to break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the out-of-town scores. Actually, I'll save that for later because we got to make sure, you know, these games. It's Thursday. Is it Thursday today? No, it's Wednesday. Some of these games are still in progress. There's still three games in progress. So I'll wait till we get a little later in the night, maybe closer to 11 o'clock hour. But I still have to do the big shot of the night at 11, so more of your calls, more conversation on the Knicks, on the Jets, on the Giants, and of course the Mets and the Yankees. Keith McPherson on the fan. We'll be right back.